and welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
Doing great. It's been such a short amount of time since I last talked to you.
That's right.
We're on like a 4-day turnaround here, which is some kind of record for us.
It is some kind of record. We've been remarkably consistent in spite of a lot of travel. In fact, you're heading out tomorrow for an overseas trip to visit the Luck of the Irish.
Yes, indeed. Now, when you go overseas, what do you do? Do you completely tune out the group me? Am I going to be completely disconnected?
It depends. I mean, like last week I was so far ahead in the schedule that all the chatter happened when I was sleeping, and you know, you're close enough. What is Ireland? Six, 5 hour difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll be close enough to stay in touch. Are you getting data on your phone? Have you paid for an international package?
I paid for an international package. It's unlimited text, limited data. So I might have to just switch off the group me, and if you need me, get at me through a text message.
I see. Well, you're gonna have to hunt down some Wi-Fi to stay relevant then, I guess.
That's right. I will, or I'll just fade into irrelevancy in Ireland. That's probably not a bad way to go.
Well, that's kind of a bleak outlook. Into irrelevancy. Goodbye, Peter.
Isn't that the dream? Is that what we're all trying to do at some point in our lives?
Do not go gentle into that night.
Oh, rage. Yeah, that
rage
against
the dying of the light.
Not go quietly into the night. Got it.
Hang on, you're mixing my movie quotes. I was going for an Interstellar. Well, you picked up Independence Day, which same point is what I'm making the same point. Anyway, hey, so before you go though, I do recommend downloading your favorite episodes of TNR to your phone for the flight, because you can get some good chuckle on the way over, kill some time.
That's an excellent idea.
One hour at a time.
Why wouldn't I download a podcast that I've already recorded and listened to?
Because we're narcissistic jerks.
No, that sounds like a great idea, though. Yeah.
All right, well that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, is how entertaining our own podcast is to us. I wanted to ask you, so confession.
Wait. So you want to ask me while we're recording the podcast how entertaining this podcast is?
No.
So that we can go back and listen to ourselves talking about it later. So what you're asking me.
I mean, kind of, but
that's the whole premise.
No, I mean, what I was going to ask you, I mean, I wasn't going to ask you how entertaining it was. We know the answer to that question. What I was going to ask you was, of our really entertaining podcast, which of the episodes this season is your favorite? That's what I wanted to know, because we know that we have listened to them. I mean, I'll speak for myself, multiple times. Clearly, I listened to it in production. And then I listen to it over the weekend. And then sometimes I'll go back and listen to it for kicks and giggles. And I did that on my, I've gotten a lot of flying time in recently, a lot of hours logged. And so I kill a lot of time listening to old podcasts. So I do have some favorite episodes from this season. I've got two in particular that I just think were awesome. But I'm curious to know, what is your degree of narcissism this season? Have you listened to our episodes more than once? And of them, which is your favorite?
I have not listened to any more than once. I have listened to all of them after the fact, which I don't think I did last year. I think I listened to most of them last year, or I listened to parts of most of them last year. I don't think I listened to all of them start to finish last year like I have this year. Mm. It's hard to pick a favorite one, though.
We're terrible. I'm
suffering from some recency bias, because obviously the ones that we did most recently are the ones that I remember the most. So like when Scott was on.
Oh, that was a great time.
That jumps to the top list.
He really did come like locked and loaded. He was ready to have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, he was a fantastic guest. But I also really liked when Andy and Jared were on this year.
Yeah, that was a good show.
I think we got some uh, some good one-liners out of those. So those three jump to top of mind for me. But I, you know, I feel like they're just getting better as we go every time. Just slipping further into my own self-obsession.
Yes, that's you're Well, which is it? Are you fading into irrelevance, or are you fading into self-obsession?
It's both at the same time.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I
All
think one precludes the other. You slip into the self-obsession and
right. And you
completely
become
irrelevant.
irrelevant. These guys are just self-obsessed jerks.
Donald Trump's about to find that out in like 4 days, so.
Ah, no. Okay. Well, before we go down that path,
We'll cut it off right there.
Yep.
That's all I can say on
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was an exciting fantasy football weekend. We had a lot of close matchups this weekend, as predicted. We assumed, with the exception of, I think, one matchup, there was going to be a lot of potential drama this weekend, and we weren't disappointed, with the exception of that one game, like I said. So I think we should do a rundown on the trademark squish factor, since our fans have come to appreciate and expect us to talk about such a thing, and our league continues to aim towards the middle as we march towards playoffs. So.
Yeah, and I think we actually, I think we got drama from every game this week. Every matchup gave us drama at one point during the day on Sunday. This Sunday I was able to kind of be tracking the games more than I had been in prior weeks, and you know, logging at different times. The matchups were close. You know, everyone's was close at some point. You know, I think you jumped out to a real big lead on Brian, but then he made it, he started to make it close. He
Yeah, he
got
did.
late scores that brought back and made it close. Derek got out to a big lead on Brock, and that was a surprise, but then Brock stormed back and actually ended up winning that one. So you know, honorable mention to Derek for nearly cutting off Brock's march toward the
Yeah,
playoffs.
that was huge. I was really pulling for Derek. And you and I had talked about it last Thursday about how Derek was really not down and out on this matchup. We discussed it doesn't matter in the playoff run due to his record, but man, I was pulling for him because he almost de-seeded the number one spot.
Yeah, and just, I mean, he lost by 4.5 points, and you know, hindsight's 20/20, but if he had just benched his defense, he would have won because his defense scored
Oh,
90.
I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, I just saw that when I was looking through the details. His defense put up a negative six number. And his defense was going against Brock's defense, and Brock's defense scored two touchdowns. And so
Oh
that was a
man.
big point in that game when as Brock's defense put up 11 and Derek's negative six. So that's just kind of them's the breaks sometimes with your fantasy football season, and Derek has had that kind of a season.
Ouch.
So Andy and Jared's matchup was close early on, but then eventually Andy faded and Jared pulled ahead, which you know, that was a loss for the squish factor. Would have been great to see Andy win that one, and he and Jared both end up at 4-4. But that one didn't work out. Michael and Scott were in a low scoring battle pretty much the whole time. Then Scott had a massive day from Melvin Gordon to carry him to victory. So that was another loss for the squish factor there. But we did have some wins for the little squish. Brent took off Chris in our game of the week with a really, it was close up until halftime on Monday night. And then coming out of the half was, or going into the half as Jimmy Graham caught his second touchdown of Monday night, that really put Brent out of reach for Chris. So they're evened up at a 5-4 record. They are now the number 5 and 6 teams in the playoff seeding. And so top six make the playoffs, and they're holding down those last two spots with a 5-4 record. And then you got a big win for you this week. We talked
Needed
about
it. Yep.
you needed it and you got it. So you're at 5-4 as well. You're in 7th place due to the tiebreaker, but you're right there. And then I got a win I needed as well, and so I'm a 4-win team along with Michael. We're just outside the playoff picture right now, but still in it, still have a shot at it. So this is a good week. Kind of even things up. Brock is obviously ahead of everyone by 2 games. But then we've now got 8 teams that are within 2 games of each other, battling out for the rest of the way. So that's a nice tight race. That's what I want to see.
Yep. So looking at schedules, it's been something we've been discussing for the past few weeks now, is who has the most ideal schedule, who has the toughest schedule going into the remainder of the season. We just have 4 short weeks left, which is hard to believe that we're already nearly, over 2/3 of the way through this season. And as we look towards the final 4 weeks, we had talked about Scott's schedule looking pretty cakewalk down the line and everybody else's schedule having a bump or two along the way. I'd love to look at next week's, this upcoming week's from a, I'd love to look at this upcoming week's matchups from the perspective of schedule and taking that into, dang it, this is what's going to happen all night. I'd love to look at next week's matchups from the perspective of schedule marching down the final 4 weeks as we discuss who has the tougher battle and who's got the easier battle. Obviously, you can't fall asleep at the wheel even if you have what appears to be an easy battle because, lo and behold, looks like our 1-7 team nearly disrupted the 7-1 team this week. So there is no given here based on these teams as they stand right now. But looking at week 10, who do you think has the easiest schedule moving forward, who's got the toughest?
Well, it's looking at week 10, I'm having a hard time seeing anything else but what is most likely clearly going to be the game of the week, which is Chris against me. Least in my heart, in my head, that's the game of the week because I don't want to play Chris. Right,
you haven't wanted to for a while,
and I'm in must win mode, so really don't want to play there.
There's a really good soundbite from last week's podcast of you in the midst of your self criticism talking about Chris, and you were saying something like, "Yeah, so I really didn't want to face Chris," and yeah. I don't want to face Chris. I mean, yeah. What I'm saying is, I don't. Whenever I don't want to play Chris.
Yeah, I had a little block on the overcome with the sentiment. It was just so powerful. So Jared gets to play Brian, which is good for him. Coming off, he snapped a losing streak, and is kind of turning his team around. He's getting healthy in some spots, so that'll be good for him to play Brian. Ben's playing Derek, so those are the 1-7. Or sorry, now 1-8 teams that get to face, and still no slam dunk there. But you got to think the morale in the clubhouse is a little bit low on the 1-8 teams, and they may not be bringing their A game out each week. Mm-hmm. You are up against Michael, and that will be an interesting one, as Michael will be 4-5 against your 5-4.
Right.
Both of you really, are going to need to win that one, I think, to keep.
Well,
stay
that's
alive.
Not possible.
I think you can tie though. So
oh, really,
maybe that's an option. No, I think there's a tiebreaker with like bench points or something.
Okay.
And then, Brent has to face Brock. I think Brock is more beatable. Recently than he has been, but he's just putting up a consistently good score.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he can be beaten. So that and Brent's on a good run right now the last 2 weeks. So that'll be interesting to see if Brent can take Brock down and continue that good run for him. And then Andy's really in a last ditch effort with now having 6 losses. He really can't stand to lose another one. And he's going up against Scott. So tough matchup there. But, really, there's another week filled with drama coming up.
Yep. So one of the things that I'm thinking about with this upcoming week is that it's still a bye week heavy week, and that week 10 is full of plenty of guys that are going to be on the bench, myself included. And I'm wondering what will happen, because the waiver wire is what it is. I mean, there's not a lot of options coming in off of it. Ultimately, you're just got to be the first one to plug the hole with a decent option, let alone somebody who's going to be a rock star that you're going to hang on to for more than a week. So do you predict that the trades, which in my opinion have kind of slowed over the past couple of weeks, do you think that they will pick up moving into the final 4 weeks, or have we settled into the teams that will be your representative in the playoffs?
I think they should pick up. I think the teams who know they're going to get to the playoffs should be starting to make more moves to kind of solidify that playoff roster, and try to maybe sacrifice some bench depth for upgrades in the starting lineup. I think those are the kind of moves that should be happening at this point of the season. Mm-hmm. There's only 4 weeks left in the regular season for fantasy football.
Yep.
Now, which is a little bit crazy. It's coming on so fast. And then, it's the 3 week sprint to the finish for the playoffs. So, I don't know if the bye weeks will come into it so much, because I think the bye weeks actually make it harder to trade, because then you don't have your full depth to trade from, because no one really wants to trade for a player who's on a bye week. So when you don't have that full depth to trade from, it's just harder to get a deal done. So maybe after this week, there'll be 1 week left until the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So maybe after this week, when I believe most of the buys should be done, or at least the heaviest section of the bye week schedule should be done, perhaps we'll see the trade activity pick up a little bit more then.
And with that, what will be the rules that need to be reclarified on the trades, especially for the fire sale tendency of teams that are down and out?
I mean, I still think we approach it with trying to assign value to keeper selections, and just looking at if we're making a reasonable deal that is beneficial for both teams. I think that's the key, is it has to be a reasonable amount of value received by both teams. Mm-hmm. You can smell a stinker when it comes across the table pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but I don't expect we'll see any of that this year. It helps that some members who might have colluded with each other in the past are actually both in the playoff picture this year.
Yeah,
that makes a difference. Where yeah.
a little bit more wary,
less likely for there to be collusion when everyone's still in it. So. I think we'll be all right, and maybe we'll see some real creative options as well.
Yep, sounds fair.
All right, so before we wrap up the show tonight, one thing we talked about last week was some of the statistics we were looking at offline, you had the good suggestion to also factor in the total points scored from the bench, so we could get perspective on really helping to frame the ideal versus actual, and if it is really representative of good management or just a kind of a poor overall team. So with that in mind, I went back and added in the bench scoring from this week. You gave me the homework assignment, and I have completed it dutifully, sir.
Can I just say that after giving you that assignment, I got a little nervous. I was like, I'm not sure I want the answer personally.
That is fair. So I have brought those points in, those total bench points in. I don't know what the best way to make sense of them, though, is. So, for example, we can talk about total bench points scored. So just total points scored from the bench this year. In which case I'm leading with 420 points scored on my bench, which is a lot. And that's through 9 games You know, I had a good week this past week, and I still had like 60 points on my bench, which is you know, a little frustrating to still be so be missing some good starts.
Right.
On my bench, I'm also second with the ideal versus actual at this point, with the second most points scored that could have been in my lineup. So with that, of my total bench points, 40% of them I could have actually plugged into my lineup to improve my lineup.
Okay.
So I think that's what we're going for, is trying to quantify that on a percentage basis.
Right.
And so if we look at that percentage, then the leader and kind of the worst position there becomes Andy, who has 159 ideal versus actual points, which is a little bit less than my 170, and 20 points less than Brent's 179. But that what he has scored for his total bench points, 54% of his total bench points for the year, he could have plugged into his lineup to improve his
team.
There you go.
That's a quantifiable right there.
Yeah. So for Andy right now, he has the fewest points scored in the league, of actual points.
Mm-hmm.
And then with, you know, with the number of points he's left on his bench, obviously, you know, that would kind of have the biggest difference to him, because such a high percentage of his bench points he could have been able to plug in.
Gotcha. Well, good job on the math there. That is a good, I think, measurable, quantifiable look at management choice, because what it does, if I'm hearing you right, what we're doing is we're comparing your IVA to your total bench points scored, and basically investigating what percentage of points on your bench could you have substituted for a higher score. And the higher the number, the worse your start-sit decisions were, correct?
Yep, yep, that's right. And then also we can just look at, if we look at all the points scored from your team for the year, that might also be interesting, where Brock has scored the most points in the year. But if we factor in the number of points scored by the bench as well, Brock drops to fourth in scoring for the year. So if we look at the actual plus your bench points, you know, maybe that's a it's a not, I wouldn't say a better indicator of team strength, but it's it gives you an idea of how deep a team is.
That's true.
But it's obviously influenced by if yep. someone's carrying a second quarterback or not.
True.
In a lot of cases, but you know, the second quarterback isn't always you know, a great one. But
yeah.
Yeah, so that is also something of interest there.
I think what we could do, if we're in the conversation of inventing stats, what you could do on that one is just give a weight by position, statistically, what has been the most valuable position over time, and then fill in the blanks. So based off of your team, you just weight each position and then compare the points scored per position. No matter how many you have in there, it just gives you a percentage point value, and then compare that to the rest of the league, and that gives you a strength rating. Does that, does that make sense?
It does. That would be, it sounds like that would be a little bit tricky. Especially when you talk about which positions are the most valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that changes year to year, and that's hard to
right.
really have a standard.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I feel like this year we're starting to see the reemergence of the true number one running back.
Yeah.
Which I feel like has been missing, but now we've got Ezekiel Elliott, we've got David Johnson, now we've got Melvin Gordon. You know, we've got some of these guys who are the true DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, the true number one running back. They're getting all of the running back work for their team,
yeah.
and they're really good. And you know, there's a handful of them. It's not just one or two guys.
Sure.
And I feel like we had been missing that for a couple of years, where it was all just, you know, committee, or wasn't one guy who could carry the load for the whole year, that sort of thing. But I think we're getting back to the true workhorse type running back, which I think is good for fantasy, and certainly gives you an edge if you've got one of those guys.
That's true.
Like we're seeing with Scott, where he's got two of them.
Yeah, it certainly can make the trade talks more interesting too, when you have some high power in there.
Yeah, what do you think is more, what would you say is more valuable, like a Julio Jones or a David Johnson?
Well, I think that I'll speak for Brent, who has not missed an opportunity to lament the running back injury curse of this season. I think what he would say is that running backs are more valuable because of the injury drought. And that has created a false demand inside the running back economy because of the scarcity of them, and therefore value goes up when it's rare. So this year I would say David Johnson's more valuable because he's fewer and far between.
Yeah,
how about you?
But I would think David Johnson at first because of that, but then is a running back more easily replaceable than a wide receiver? Because, for example, if David Johnson got hurt, you would kind of know who his replacement would be. And if you, you know, ponied up the cash for him, you could get him off the waiver wire and then slide that right in. Whereas if Julio Jones got hurt, there's really not someone who's going to replace what Julio Jones can do on the field.
Well, I'll say this. Wide receivers are, like in your theoretical scenario here, wide receivers are a much more guaranteed committee replacement than running backs, depending on the team. So with wide receivers, you can expect the shareholder spread to go across multiple wides if your stud goes down. Whereas in a running back position, depending on the team, yeah, it may go to RB by committee, but chances are, if you have a number one running back like Johnson, they probably have a backup that's going to get the amount of touches that he would without the committee, unless their offense was already designed otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think the wide receiver is more valuable, but if we were to do an auction draft with no keepers, I think David Johnson would go for a higher price than Julio Jones.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which, you know, so that would say the market would suggest that David Johnson is
one would think. Yeah.
But I feel like Julio Jones, you know, the number one wide receiver, the Antonio Brown or Julio Jones or whoever it is, Mike Evans at this point, this year, I think it is more valuable than the running back, even though the running back gives more consistency, and I think it may be a better foundation for a fantasy football team.
Maybe so. Well, this sounds like a good question for our listeners. We'll watch the GroupMe to see what the weigh-in is. So speak up. Let us know what you think, guys.
Yeah, at us on the GroupMe, or if you're not in the league, you can find us on Twitter at Truth and Recon.
Boom. Hey, going back to your stat on the IVA, now that we have the benchmark or the bench point mark, I would kindly request that you go ahead and throw that, similar to what you did to the IVA Plus, where you give us a comparison ranking to the rest of the league. I would love to see that percentage comparison, whether on a bell curve or just the plus ranking that gives you a standing, basically 1 through 12, of where you fall positionally. And then we have an easy comparison across managers. What do you think?
Yep. That'd be good. Yeah, if we figure out which ones. I mean, it's easy to see. I calculated it for the lead average as well. So the lead average is that 38% of your bench points could have been plugged into your lineup improved your team.
Yeah.
So Ben is at the lowest percentage at 26% of his bench points he could have plugged in. So he's scoring a lot of points from his bench that he's not, you know, wouldn't even be able to use basically. And then Andy's at the other end, and as we talked about, Brent is also there with 53% of his bench points that he could have plugged into his lineup.
Yeah. The more I think about it, we have two options. Either the IVA with bench points is completely mutually exclusive to the power ranking, basically, the strength of the team stat, trying to get a feel for what makes the depth of a team quantifiably, we can identify this with a stat. Either those are two separate things that you look at independently, but by comparison. So we got this one over here, and his IVA is this over here. Despite having a weaker team, he's got a stronger IVA, so he's making the best decisions. Or he's got a worse IVA, but look at his points for and look at the depth of his team. You can either look at them completely independently like that and judge for yourself, or we can try to figure out some kind of way to blend those stats to give us an overall that gives us that power, depth, and IVA start sit decisions into one. I don't know how to do that.
I think I prefer to keep the IVA separate from power rankings simply because the goal is to put out the best starting lineup that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the power ranking should be on, is what have your start, what have your starters actually done? What have you actually been able to, you know, what team have you fielded? It's all based on the actuals only. And the IVA is more of a philosophical conversation about, and it's an interesting frame of reference for looking at a team and trying to evaluate their overall strength. You can look at it that way. But I would probably keep it exclusive from the power rankings.
Makes sense.
But since you did bring up the power rankings, I was looking at what this week's rankings will be.
Uh-huh.
And just as a preview, there will be no movement between the top six teams this week, which I thought was interesting. So it's Brock, Scott, Chris, Ben, Jared, and Brent, all still in the same 1-6 spots that they were last week. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been a whole lot of movement between those six teams. So I feel like they are solidifying themselves as the the top six teams, and they are the six playoff teams right now as well. While the bottom six teams all shuffled around all over. And so a little bit of movement there. But I think we have the eight teams within two games of each other, to this point of the season, it really looks like we've got a clearly defined top six, bottom six. There's only 4 weeks left to change that. But I think those bottom six teams, and especially the top three or four of the bottom six, definitely have some ground to make up.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how do those splits compare to our league divisionally?
That's a good question. So I believe of the top six, two are in the challengers and four are in the incumbents.
All right. That sounds about right. Like what it should be.
Yep. So Scott and Jared are representing from the challengers.
Mm-hmm.
Division, which, you know, it's cool because it's both of their second year in the league, and they're true challengers. They didn't make playoffs in their first year, and now they're right there in their second year. So did a good story for the newspapers.
For sure.
You know, once we really started media coverage of the league,
of course. Made, yeah. No. Yeah.
The darlings.
Yeah, I'm sure we're syndicated somewhere. We're just not getting paid for it yet.
Right. Right.
No. Anywho, so when do you get back, Pete?
I'll be back on Sunday night.
All right. Well, we hope you can keep the chatter up with us in the meantime while we move into a very thrilling week 10.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous that it's such a critical matchup for me, and I'm going to be not at full capacity in terms of my normal process for getting my team ready for the week. Mm-hmm. A little bit nervous for how that's going to go, but I'll do as much as I can in the morning before I go tomorrow, and then hope for the best.
You do get that head start on the waiver wire.
Yeah, that's true.
On the middle of the night.
That's right. Yeah. I'll pop up at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. in Ireland time and be ready to go. Scoop up anyone that you guys missed.
All right, man. Well, safe travels. Enjoy the country that is Ireland.
And thank you to you for being a trooper with another podcast immediately following return from an international trip for you.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you are able to be at home for a while and enjoy.
Yeah, I think I was, even though I'm much more tired tonight than I was even on Thursday, I feel like I was relatively sane.
I think so.
I look forward to, listening back and seeing if there's any more pot talk. All right, man. Well, good show. Thanks for jumping on in the midst of prepping to head out of country. As always, we are both committed to our own production and, as we discussed at the front of the show, our own narcissism. I look forward to listening to this one back, and I hope you enjoy it on the flight tomorrow too. Because, and we really, we have an excuse to listen to our own podcast, and that is because It's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. I killed that ending. That was...
I know. I got a little bit chilled. It's such a good ending.
Nailed that one. Boom.
That was really well done.
I got chills.